As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Oh, Calvin Klein.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. One, two.
Turn him around. Turn him around.
Pull it, are you pulling it or not?
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, May 17th, and we are back to hashtag full squad all the time. I'm J.E. Skeets, along with the homie, Tass Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
Hey, Tassie, we got my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ow!
Hey!
Yo! The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Lee. And last but not least, making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team right now for joining us live on YouTube. Sorry, we're starting a little late. We had a lot of wedgies to put together. We'll get to them in a second. But smash that like button, leave your comments, and if you haven't already, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. We'd really appreciate it. Email us your questions and comments for this week's new Beach Steppin' Podcast. Email them in nodunks@theathletic.com. And finally, go grab yourself some sweet No Dunks merch to rep the brand at nodunks.com. Yeah, we're going to get to setting up the play-in tournaments here and the juiciest playoff matchups that we know, at least. But first, guys, we entered the weekend with 49 wedgies, one short of that magical number 50, and three away from setting the all-time record. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got them!
Oh! Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon. That was the nucleus of the Magic, and that'll be a jump ball, of course. Steve Clifford said something rather interesting. The Magic started the season 6-2.
No longer tied with Brooklyn, and we, of course, game number 72. You have the wedgie for our friends at the No Dunks Podcast, the former starters. Prior to that, the Basketball Jones right here from Toronto. They went from Basketball Jones to the starters, to the No Dunks. And
big Raptor fans.
Huge Raptor fans. Yeah. Shout out to Skeets and Tass.
Last time I saw them was in Atlanta. And had our game a year ago before things got shut down.
Be perimeter players anyway.
And they are in today's game.
They are. You are today, that's for sure.
And Bembry leaves it there, and a jump ball is called.
That's the second one we've had today.
I know. Shout out, Skeets and Tass.
Yeah. First half.
Catch and shoot. Hunter. Oh, we got a wedgie. Come on, Vince.
I didn't say nothing. I'm just trying to think of the rebuttal.
Okay. No pun intended.
None. I knew that was the word you were looking for, too. Get used to it.
I don't know.
I hear it all the time, okay?
And you love it.
I do. You just don't say it enough.
It's great.
Lakers, Horton Tucker. It's
that?
One on five for Talen. Oh, a wedgie. Oh, wedgie.
Well, it wasn't really a wedgie. It just did that for a brief moment.
Well, okay, a brief wedgie.
Wow.
A wedgie's a wedgie.
What a way to end the regular season. 5 wedgies over the final weekend of this regular season. There it is. You see it at wedgietracker.com. We have hit an all-time record task. We're, of course, still going. We count them in the play-in tournament. We count them in the playoffs. But we're at 54, and beating the all-time record there is pretty special stuff. And, like, Devlin shout-outs and then a hilarious line from Vince Carter. I mean, it was a magical time, Tass.
It's truly unbelievable. This just has not happened ever. And to do it with such a bang at the end of the season, I just wish on the same weekend as the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, somebody just got up there with a backboard and a ball stuck in between the rim of the backboard and just held it up up there as a speech. Why the heck not? This is history. Put it in the wing. This is a big, big moment. Yeah, to do it with 5, it left me speechless. Like, if somebody was going to do a speech, all he had to do was just hold up the backboard. And everybody knows it. Wow. Everybody around the league, Wedgie, giggles, rebuttal. Did Vince do that on purpose? I don't know, but it felt like it did. Oh, it felt like he did. Yeah, good stuff.
I knew that was the word you were going to say.
Yes.
I knew that was the word. Well, man, what a day. It feels like Mark McGwire in 1998 chasing down Roger Maris, 61. Took forever, and then he just blew past it. Right. Ended up with 70 home runs. We might be going for 60 wedgies here once the playoffs is going, especially if we have another 4 wedgie day. That was insane yesterday. The way they just kept getting stuck. 2 wedgies from 2 DeAndres. Unprecedented stuff.
Lee, I have a theory. We all saw each other this weekend for the first time in a long time. Yeah. No Dunks boys actually looking each other in the eye, in the human flesh, in a backyard setting, you know, having a brew. And I think just us coming together got us these, this unbelievable run here to get us over the that magic mark of 50. And then, as I said, to set the all-time record now at 54 and counting. Every wedgie we get now is a record. This is amazing. Mm. What do you think of that theory?
The wedgie gods must have been there at the barbecue house and just said, you know what, these guys are having a great time. Let's give them as many wedgies as they can possibly have here. And what a fantastic weekend, just to really wrap it up there. And they just came in yesterday, one after the other. A few shout-outs. I like the fact as well that Stu Lance and Bill McDonald, they were questioning whether or not it was a legit wedgie. Doesn't matter how long it lasts. Right. A wedgie is a wedgie. So great job there from the guys.
And shout-out to everybody that was tweeting at us and, you know, messaging us on Instagram. Like, yeah, you guys were going nuts. Like, people were excited, especially as they start coming, like, the 2 in one game. I mean, that is pretty rare. Tass, I don't have the numbers in front of me. It's happened before, I think, but not that often.
Very rare.
Yeah.
Very, very
maybe
rare.
Maybe a handful of times. So, and it saved the Raptors season, I think, actually. A season from hell. A nightmare season was saved completely this last game because we got 2 wedgies, and Matt Devlin, he loves nothing more than giving a Tass and Skeet shout-out, man. We love that guy. What a guy. All right.
Yeah, now he's dropping the lineage, too. I think he's following Lamar Hurd's lead because Lamar Hurd has been doing the lineage, then he dropped it. Every single name that we've had, soon he'll drop in the free agents as well.
Oh,
that
wow.
Brief name that we had there. But, yeah, you talk about the barbecue boys, but also fitting that the record is set by a Toronto Raptor. Why the heck not?
Right,
you know,
big.
Comes all the way around. And for me personally, I had some reservations with the wedgie number getting up to where it was because Lee mentioned that quick one in Los Angeles. It was a wedgie. Earlier on this season, we had one that was after the whistle that landed in between the rim and the backboard, and then it slipped out. Should we count that? But we did because the broadcaster said it's a wedgie.
Yeah.
So, I had my reservations, and then bang, 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 bang. I mean, it's... they squashed that this week, and the NBA squashed it.
I mean, so now the goal is 60, right, Lee? Or is it 69?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Let's not get too sexy. I think 69's a little bit out of reach, but 60's definitely in play now. I mean, we've got the play-in games, and then we go straight into the playoffs. I think 60's definitely on the table this season, for sure.
Okay. The all-time record in the playoffs is 6.
So
we'd have to get
playoffs.
That. Maybe squeeze one in the play-in tournament.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we get one or two here over this week before we actually get to the real playoffs on Saturday. Well, let's get into all that. We just spent 10 minutes talking about wedgies, but that's what we do here. Okay, so JD, if you want to help me out there, you can put up the playoffs bracket. We know the play-in games, of course, and it's going to be on Tuesday. There's no games on tonight, but on Tuesday, we have the number 10 Hornets at the number 9 Pacers. That one's a 6:30 p.m. Eastern start on TNT, followed by the Wizards, who are the number 8 seed, got all the way up to 8th. They're in Boston to take on the number 7 seed Celtics. That one is at 9 p.m. Eastern. And the West play-in games are the number 10 Spurs against the number 9 Grizzlies, and then the number 8 Warriors against the number 7 Lakers. Those two Western Conference games on Wednesday. So, play-in or playoffs. You can go wherever you want, because we, of course, know some of the matchups there in the actual playoffs, which start on Saturday. What's the spiciest matchup? And we're going to start in the Eastern Conference, Lee. I'll get this out of the way. We're not making predictions on today's show here, because we, of course, have all week. We still have to figure out some of the actual playoff matchups in terms of who gets in from the play-in tournament. So we'll get to all that as the week goes on. But yeah, now that we know, especially the play-in games and that, you know, what's the spiciest? Like, if for whatever reason that you have your eye on in the Eastern Conference, go have at it.
I'm looking forward to Bucks Heat round two. A real chance at redemption here for Milwaukee after what happened, especially last season, to see what they've learned from their last two trips to the playoffs, because, of course, they led the Raptors a couple of years ago up 2-0 in that series and lost in six games. And then last season, we all know what happened down there in the bubble. They got humiliated in the most ungentlemanly of gentlemen sweeps by the Heat in the second round. I think some factors were at play. The neutral venue down there meant that the Bucks lost, you know, real home court advantage. And they also never really got going in the bubble at any time. Even though they beat the Magic in the first round, they weren't convincing in that series. And then Jimmy Butler really just destroyed them on the court. And Milwaukee just never able to get back in. I know Giannis missed the game there at the end. They did win at game four. But that was kind of like, yeah, they weren't really getting back into the series. So now this season, the Bucks do have real home court advantage. The first two games there will be in Milwaukee. I think they're a much better team with the additions of Jrue Holiday and PJ Tucker. I mean, that's why they brought these guys in. Veterans, experienced, good defenders. And they hope that Jrue Holiday is going to be better than Eric Bledsoe's been for them in the playoffs. And I think that was the right gamble to take. And the Bucks as well could have tried to be a little bit sneaky here by losing to Miami on Saturday. They didn't, though, and I like that. I like the fact that they went out there and beat them, knowing they're probably going to face them. Jimmy Butler didn't play, but he didn't play against the Bucks at all this season in the three games. So, look, I think the Heat like this matchup. I think the Bucks like this matchup. I think it's going to be a grind.
Yep.
You can make a strong case for both teams, but I just think this one is going to be a real tough series, which I think is great for Milwaukee, because if they get past it, you know, their path through here is going to be tough no matter who they play. And I like them going up against a team that caused them a lot of heartache last season. So I think it's going to be really, really fascinating for them just to see, is Milwaukee a different team than it has been the last two seasons in the playoffs? A lot of pressure on Coach Budenholzer here as well. This could be it for him if they lose in this first round. So I think this one's got so much at stake, so much at play. And for a first round series, I think that's perfect.
Okay. What do you think, Tass? You agree with that? I mean, I think we probably all agree that's going to be a great matchup. Is there another one, though, you're like, ooh, I think this might be even juicier in the East?
Well, I'll just mention, just talk about that that series for sure. Is probably got the biggest spotlight on it with Giannis going up against his old team. For me, I want Giannis to make quicker decisions. You know, he's a guard slash big man, but he kind of gets into the lane and sort of, you know, takes his time making those decisions. He's got to swing that thing. That wall is going to be there against this Heat defense. They are playing so well right now. They're just playing so, so good. They're ready to take it up another level like they did in the bubble. I saw assistant coach Caron Butler of the Miami Heat Instagram something like new goals require new habits. Well, these boys are bringing out the new habits. I mean, they're ready. They're ready to shut down Giannis again. So is Giannis going to pass? He's going to move that thing. And it's up to Jrue Holiday and Mike Budenholzer, who, yes, his job is definitely on the line if they lose this first round series. And they do have home court advantage. The Bucks mentioned that going to the bubble last year that they didn't have it. They have one of the highest capacities right now in their arena in Pfizer Forum. So it's not only they get to play at home, but I think they have 45%, if I'm correct.
It might be as high as 50% even. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. It is definitely one of the largest home.
Yeah, you're right. It is 50. Yeah. I saw these numbers, so many numbers, but so many wedgies, so many percentages. But they have no excuse. But the Heat are going to be ready. That's the worrisome part for them. So I just want Giannis to, when he gets into that lane, no more waiting. No more. Am I going to the hook? Am I going to the push? Am I just, move it? And it's up to Jrue to drop 20 to 25 a game, and I think he can.
Oh, yeah, massive Jrue Holiday series, yeah. Especially because you think he'll probably be on Jimmy Butler for a lot of this, at least when things get serious between the Bucks and Heat. Jrue Holiday is a guy who's got a playoff reputation built on dominating one series, basically, right? That series against the Blazers years ago when he was just too big for Damian Lillard and just overwhelmed him with his size and skill and just kind of being everywhere with his physicality. Jimmy Butler's a super physical player as well, so that'll be fun to see those two guys going up against each other. Is the addition of Jrue Holiday, PJ Tucker, and I guess Bobby Portis, is that enough to change your mind about the Milwaukee Bucks? We're going to find out pretty quickly here, because this is going to be an upset special kind of pick. There's going to be a lot of people on the Heat considering the way things went last year. I don't know. There's less pressure on the Bucks now than there has been the past three seasons. Maybe that's good for them.
Yeah. As for the play-in games in the Eastern Conference, I know the West games definitely are going to get more of the spotlight, and we're going to get to those in a second. But of these two, who do you have the most faith in, Lee, to come out of it? Or which one are you excited about? Do you care at all about the Hornets-Pacers one? Like, what do you think?
Well, that's definitely the lowest interest for me there. I mean, the Wizards, the real factor for the Wizards is how healthy is Bradley Beal and that hamstring.
Look all that good on the weekend. He played like 35 minutes, but he looked hampered,
Yeah,
you guys sound like a bunch of Kent Bazemores out there.
shot badly, but I'm not sure if they were trying to play him to see if he could win the scoring title or if they just wanted to see if he could get through a game. So we'll find out here because he hasn't got much time before that game starts. So at least with the Wizards, they can potentially lose that game and still get through because, of course, the loser of 7 and 8 plays the winner of 9 and 10.
I think this guy's figured it out.
I think the Hornets, and I hope the Hornets get past the Pacers because I would like to see the Hornets go further this season. You know, they've been a great story and I'd like to see them do well. So I think the Celtics are vulnerable, but again, given that Bradley Beal is injured, maybe they can just sort of squeeze past the Wizards in that one game, then they're through to the playoffs, so they get a series at least. But none of them are super sexy. I don't think as anywhere near as sexy as the Western Conference because we've got a couple of real big heavyweights going at it. But I would like to see the Wizards and the Hornets get through. I just think everything the Wizards have done in this last month or so, it'd be great to see them get in and potentially see a Wizards-Nets first round. And then Hornets and the Sixers would be fun as well because it's just much more fun watching the Charlotte Hornets.
What about your Knicks, Lee? They got a home court series in Madison Square Garden.
That's huge.
We can't skip that series. Skeets, I know you said that had the potential of being on NBA TV.
I was confused because like usually if the Hawks are involved, it's going to be an NBA TV sort of matchup. But then I said, oh, this is interesting though. It's the Knicks, obviously a huge market. I don't really know what they do with it. I don't think they've released that full schedule yet, have they?
Waiting to see what happens. You know, if you got a Russi in there, maybe if you get the Wizards in there, maybe that changes the dynamic. But if, like Lee said, I mean, I think most people are sort of cheering for Charlotte over the Pacers. No offense to the Pacers, but that would likely be an NBA TV series. Maybe Charlotte changes that equation. But I'm pumped about Knicks-Hawks in general, just especially because both teams are sort of evenly matched in that they've got like zero playoff experience.
Yeah. I mean,
Derrick Rose comes in for the Knicks as their guy. Clint Capela is the only one of the top five scorers on the Hawks that has any playoff experience. So it's youngins, and how do you handle Randall? He had 40, 44, and 28 against the Hawks this season. Then that's not a good matchup for them at all with the John Collins. Maybe Clint Capela moves over, but I'm looking forward to who steps up there.
Oh, it should be a great series, no doubt. I mean, we were hoping for it the last couple of weeks. We're like, I hope that one stays 4-5. It'll be wild to think, though, TK, that like either the Knicks or Hawks are going to be through to the second round, and either Giannis and the Bucks or Jimmy and the Heat will not. They are going to be done somewhat early or disappointingly early. It's just the way it all matched up in the end. But like you said too, Lili, there was the option for Milwaukee to get a little Clippers like if you want, and maybe try and dodge an opponent here and there, and they chose really not to, which maybe could backfire in their face, or maybe it doesn't. Maybe you got to exercise those demons, TK, early, or try to.
Turn on the pit bull. It's going down in the playoffs. I can't wait. We've got spicy matchups literally from the start here. Like you're saying, Knicks-Hawks, that's going to be a fun series. It's a real contrast in styles. The Hawks are a top 10 offense, a bottom 10 defense. The exact opposite for the Knicks, a top 10 defense, a bottom 10 offense. They both play really slow. I kind of think that the Knicks should have to wear their gigantic baggy 90s jerseys, get the spread wing Hawks out there, go full on throwback series here, because these could be some ugly games. It'll be interesting to see how Trae Young does if he's not getting those, you know, kind of stop and pop foul calls. Things change in the playoffs. Be interesting to see if Randall is getting calls as well. Do the Knicks have another gear in the playoffs? We've seen a lot of times A Tom Thibodeau team competes super hard during the regular season. They play every possession like it's a game seven. But then when you get to the playoffs, you got to keep doing that. And do you have another gear? We shall see. I can't wait for this one. I still am a little up in the air on who I'm going to go with between the Knicks and the Hawks once we actually get to making picks, because these are well-balanced teams in sizable markets. And yeah, Skeets, are they going to be the NBA TV series? I doubt it. Basically just waiting to see, hey, Pacers, you're going to be in the real playoffs here? Because guaranteed that is the NBA TV series.
It would be. And it may not even matter if it's the Hornets, I think. I think Sixers Hornets could still be an NBA TV series, too. Especially just being a 1-8-2, and most people would have Philly, like, taking care of business there, no matter who they're playing. I'll say this now, just so everybody knows, too. Like, on tomorrow's show, we are going to preview and predict the play-in tournament games for the Eastern Conference, because they go down on Tuesday night. So we'll do that on tomorrow's show. Then on Wednesday, we'll obviously react to those games and then do the same for the Western Conference play-in games that will happen that night. And then later in the week, on Thursday and Friday, we're going to make those sort of like late-night affairs, late-night games, where we're reacting to the games, the final play-in games to decide the final teams to get in, and then preview the actual playoffs there. Go through four series on one of those nights on Thursday night and go through the other four series on the Friday night and make our predictions and break it all down and talk about the X factors and all that. Those are always a blast, those shows, I think, where we get into the debates about who's going to win the series. So that's sort of what we're looking at here for the week, just so everybody knows.
But no doubt this is going to come up when we're making our picks, but a great question. We got to ask it from Max on the stream team. Will Lee be rooting for Atlanta, his current home team, or his Knicks?
The answer is both.
Deep in the pocket of big Knicks for a while there. Yeah. This is going to be tearing you apart, mate.
Yeah. You know what, though? I think I'm going to go down to a game down at the Fortress. Wow. Playoff game against the Knicks. Yeah. I think I'm going to be okay. I'm going to mask up, even though fully vaxxed and everything, and I'm going to distance. But I think that playoff atmosphere, because we know that Hawks basketball isn't a great atmosphere for a lot of the teams they play against, because it very rarely gets full. Now, I don't sure what their capacity is, but anytime the Knicks or the Lakers are in town, they're always fun games, fun atmosphere. Yeah. So we're going to get a minimum of two down here at the Fortress, maybe three. I'm going to go down to one. I feel okay with the situation right now that it'd be okay to go to a game.
But
so
who are
that's
you cheering
for
when you're in attendance is the question. Are you going to have a Hawks?
Well, you know I'm going to have my Threesers shirt on, my Kyle Korver shirt on for sure.
Yes.
I don't think I have any Knicks.
I've got the
John Starks jersey, yes. Yeah, so I'll have both of them. Everyone can hate me and boo me no matter what happens down there. So I'm that guy. No one wants that guy. Like, who are you supporting, man? Pick a side. Pick a team. I'm like, nah, I can't.
Nah, you can't lose this way.
I just love basketball.
Yeah. Can't lose, you can't win. So it's going to be fun anyway. I'm just excited to have playoff basketball back here in Atlanta.
And yeah, they've got a high capacity there, 45%. That's pretty
is
high.
It up to, wow, that's, yeah.
So you think, like, I think, well, that's a playoff atmosphere because in comparison to everything else, it's rocking the house. I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to this question here from Emil Nate. Trey brought it up a little bit earlier, talking Pitbull. Emil Nate says, I don't mind ESPN bringing back, it's going down, I'm yelling, playoffs, Pitbull. What is the song going to be?
Yeah,
what are we
going
to hear for the next 2+ months?
Can't wait to find out. It's going to be soon. I don't know if the Hawks want fans in attendance, actually. Don't they have, like, an incredible home record right now? And I'm, like, convinced a part of it has to do with, you know, not having full capacity and not having a lot of the other fans' teams in attendance. Maybe it's actually helping them. They have, like, an unbelievable home record over the last, like, 20 games or something. Like, they've lost, like, 2 games.
Yeah, they're 18-2. Yeah, fans like Lee, you know, who might just pull out the Knicks jersey.
That's what I mean. So I mean, exactly. This is good. Like, just don't let any more people in. Don't let people like Lee in. is what I'm getting at here. Okay, well, we'll see. But we are excited about that series, and I'm with you, Trey. I keep going back and forth on who's going to take that. I do think it's going to be a 7-game series. But the Knicks getting home court advantage might be enough to sort of like lean me towards picking them. But we'll get to that later in the week.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Okay, let's go to the Western Conference. Thank you, JD, throwing that back up there. So, same question for this. You can go in with the play-in games or just the matchups we know between the Clippers and Mavs and then Nuggets or Blazers. Spiciest matchup. So, Trey, get us started. Where are you going? No.
Easy one, Skeetsaroo. The spiciest matchup, it's Silver's Delight. Are you kidding? Lakers versus Warriors, LeBron versus Steph in the play-in tournament. The 7 and 8 seeds, we've talked about it before. Having either of those teams in the 9 or 10 spot would have had the league shaking in their boots. But now you've got LeBron and Steph in game one, a guarantee of one of them in the second game after the loss. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is a hot take. Is this play-in game the single biggest game in the league since game 7, 2016?
Wow.
One game, winner take all sort of scenario?
I would say no, because the loser still gets a second chance.
Yeah, that's my only... True. Yeah. If it was...
The way it looks like they'll both get through anyway. I think you would probably pick whoever loses to beat the winner of that Grizzlies-Spurs game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if it was, okay, loser's done and winners in, then you might have a case there, TK. You might have something to go on. But either way, it's the perfect scenario for the league, because it's like you're going to have this massive clash for the victory, and then the loser, the compensation is, the consolation prize is, you can still go through. So this is fantastic. This is great play-in tournament stuff. This is what Adam Silver wants. He wants that excitement down there. And the East, not as exciting, but the West is absolutely the perfect setup. Because we should get some really, really good games. And then whoever does go through, you know, when you look at the top of the standings who they're facing, that's going to be a little bit nervous for both of those teams.
That's why it's so
too.
Spicy, so because, I mean, either team that wins, that gets the 7 seed here, especially if it's the Lakers, they would be going up then against the Suns. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the Lakers at their best look like the best team in the league. That has been a long time since then. But, I mean, if the Lakers end up in that 7 spot, Suns versus Lakers becomes the spiciest first-round matchup, because you're thinking, wow, the Suns are finally back in the playoffs after a decade. Now they got to try and beat LeBron in a 7-game series. Woo! That's some spice right there. Obviously, the Lakers could fall to 8th as well, or the Warriors could get 8. And I don't know. I mean, the Jazz have had one of their best regular seasons in franchise history. Now you got to beat Steph Curry in a 7-game series. I think the Jazz would likely still be favored there, but I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough to pick against Steph Curry in a 7-gamer. So, yeah, this set up perfectly for the league to have two monster superstars in the 7 and 8 game going against a couple of teams who we have questions about in the playoffs heading in anyways. Exciting, exciting stuff.
Oh, yeah. And we're helped out by LeBron making it even spicier, in my opinion. He had a lot of, praise for Steph Curry as he gets ready to take on this guy. I mean, Curry went for 46 in 40 minutes in a big win against the Grizzlies, because that was going to decide who was going to be this the 8th seed and at least get 2 cracks at actually making the thing. So the Warriors pull out the victory. But LeBron said this, Tass. I mean, just look at what he's done this year, talking about Curry. I don't know anything else if you're looking for an MVP. If Steph is not on Golden State's team, what are we looking at? We get caught up in the records sometimes. We get caught up in the, okay, who has the best record, instead of just saying, who had the best season that year? And Steph has had, in my opinion, the best season all year. What is LeBron doing here? What are these mind games LBJ's doing, Tass? Like, they're about to play on Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern start there, Lele. Hope you get a couple of your coffees that take you 8 hours to make in you for that one. But, I mean, you're going to see, obviously, all the debate shows going nuts with this praise from LeBron. Is it mind games? Is he just obviously likes a fan of Steph Curry and truthfully believes he should be MVP? What's your take on these very glowing remarks, Tess?
I don't think LeBron's really playing mind games here. He's got a double elimination. That's the way I figured it out. I just like saying double elimination. Now I know a team has to lose 2 games. I don't have to think bracket, but that's an aside. LeBron, I think he's just part of this chorus that's praising Steph Curry this season. Damian Lillard continuously calls him the best shooter ever. Damian Lillard hated being compared to Steph Curry earlier in his career, but now he's just saying Steph is the best shooter ever. And I think LeBron is just respecting him too. I think everybody who just casts aside and dismisses the Warriors forgets that they're six games above 500. They're 39-33, and just the people who just say, "Oh, they're eighth in the West, that stinks." They're far, far above 500 now, and that's all because of Steph. He wins the scoring title at 32 points per game, a nice flat 32.0.
Thank you.
The highest, yeah, very, very good for everybody. The highest point total as the oldest guy ever. I mean, he's scored the most points as the oldest guy ever in the NBA for a season. More than Jordan did at that age. So that's just mad
respect.
That
is weird. I think the problem with that is Steph Curry still looks like he's 18 to me. So it's like, okay, I'm like not that impressed for some reason about it. But you're right, that is wild.
Yeah, join in, what is it, Kareem, Wilt, and Jordan as the only guys to do multiple MVPs, multiple scoring titles, and multiple championships. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Or is it multiple finals MVP? Either way, I think it's just LeBron just giving him respect. I don't think he's messing around. I don't think he has to. I think he.
Are you sure?
Better.
This is LeBron James we're talking about here. Like, he's really, I think, already like leaning into like, hey, watch what I'm about to do now. Now I'm the seventh seed. Now I'm going against that what I think should be the MVP. First off, he wants to make that clear. We're gonna beat him on Wednesday night. So that'll be a nice thing for me. This is what he's doing here. And then, you know, the Rockets are the only team to be a six seed or lower, of course, to be the six seed they were in 95 lately, to go and win a championship. So LeBron's about to try and do something that no one's ever done and be a seven seed. First off, be in this play-in tournament and go in and win a title, but then be the seven seed and do it. I think this is all a part of just his, he just does this all the time. He points out not the obvious, but like, hey, I'm about to climb that mountain over there is the biggest mountain in the world, but I'm going to go climb it. So like, he just has to let you know though, that these are the odds. So just get ready. I think he's slyly doing exactly what he always does, in my opinion.
Yeah, of course he is. He knows exactly how to work the media. He knows what people are going to be talking about. And he's at that stage of his career where he loves the mind games. You're the best. You're the favorite. You guys should win. We're nobody. We're in the play-in time. We can't win the championship, but everybody knows if they are healthy, fully healthy, then they are probably favorite still to win the whole thing. And if he was to do it from coming from the play-in tournament to then, you know, be the number seven seed, he of course would not have home court against anybody at any point in the series or the playoffs. But that won't matter for him. He knows he can win on the road. He can beat all these teams. And everybody knows that just the weight that LeBron carries when he's in the playoffs and he can step it up a gear, even if he loses that first game of a playoff series, he's still LeBron James. He's done it before. And the ankle, of course, this is the most significant injury he's had of his career. So he is probably coming in, not 100%, but...
Oh, he's let us know that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was playing
fine.
My best basketball of my career until a grown man dove for a loose ball. I feel like I wrote that line for LeBron. A grown man dove for a loose ball.
This is what playoff experience is all about, though. Like, he's been there. He knows that it's like Roger Federer used to say. I love tennis, of course, and Roger Federer used to say in the second round of tournaments he would win a set just because the other guy would be so intimidated of who he's facing. And that's what I think LeBron can walk into the playoffs with. He's like, I've been here forever. I've won four, you know, I've been there, what, 10 times he's been to the finals. His place is confirmed in NBA lore. And now it's like, you have to defeat me. I'm not going to go out easily. You have to beat me. And he's been beaten. He has been beaten. But we just know that this is one of his strongest teams, again, when fully healthy, with Anthony Davis playing at the level he can play at.
The other thing, Trey, to look at with these comments from LeBron, I see the stream team pointing it out, is this just LeBron recruiting Steph Curry even more? We laugh, but is he thinking, like, you know, he's playing chess a lot of the time. He's thinking 10 steps ahead. But what do you think?
Him during the All-Star game,
that's what,
right?
I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. He's either recruiting or he's legacy building.
Yeah.
It's got to be one of those two. I like what Greg here is saying in the stream team. When you're the best, you have to create problems for yourself. Lewis Hamilton is the same.
Vroom, vroom.
Always complaining while winning. Yeah, this is like every single race, Lewis Hamilton, about 20 laps in. Oh, my tires are going. Don't know if I'm going to be able to do this one. Takes home the championship every single time.
Yeah.
Great stuff for Greg.
There's no doubt he loves playing on the road. He loves the challenge of, it's freaking year 18 for him. So, he definitely needs things to spice it up. It's interesting to see on the other side when Steph's asked about, do you think the NBA wants LeBron versus Steph in the first round? Steph on the other side doesn't say a peep. He literally was asked that at a press conference. He just nodded for 15 seconds. He didn't say a word. It was just, yeah, he doesn't want to feed it. He doesn't want to feed the beast. He wants to come out there and be quiet. I kind of want them to lose and then be the eighth seed because, as Trey was bringing up, the Lakers just beat the Suns without LeBron, and the Warriors just beat the Jazz, and so that feeds into the storyline right there. That would be great. They're beatable, you know. And LeBron, could be the. Here's the storyline, man. You're the first guy to ever win the championship if you made from the play-in tournament. Like that's it. That's a nice little storyline.
No, I mean, yeah. Look, he keeps telling us that last year's title was the maybe the most impressive of his career. I guess he says also coming back against the Warriors down 3-1 when he was with Cleveland. Pretty damn impressive, too, against the mighty Warriors. But this one, Lee, truly would, I think. Like, if you are on the road every single series as a 7th seed and you went on to win another title, wow. Especially against some of these amazing teams in the Western Conference, and then maybe it is the Nets or the Bucks or the Sixers in the finals. Holy crap, if he pulls that off, which he obviously could do, because they are a good team, they're the best defense in the league, and then you got LeBron and AD, who, when they're healthy, are what? Two top 7 players in the league,
yeah.
Maybe even higher. Depends where you want to obviously slot AD in there. So they're going to be a tough matchup. Go ahead.
I mean, 73-9 Warriors, you know, they came back the first time from 3-1
down.
That
was pretty amazing.
Smoked in those first two games. I mean, obviously the Cavs were, I don't know if they were 1 or 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, but that's still going to be tough, I think, to beat that because they were dead in the water. Now, obviously, Draymond Green gets suspended. Andrew Bogut gets injured as well. So there are other factors there. But I'm not prepared to put this one above that one just yet until we see how it plays out. Maybe if he has to win, you know, 4 Game 7s on the road or something like that, perhaps. But I'm keeping 2016 as his best one so far.
Okay. Trey, what do you think about the Clippers' moves this weekend? Leaning in to the old tankathon, a little late tankathon there, to avoid, to some extent, the Lakers' side of the bracket there, or at least a first-round matchup with them. And they got their way. Now they get the Mavericks in a rematch. In the 4-5, and we got Denver-Portland, 3-6. Both, I think, going to be great series. They look like it on paper. But what do you think of the Clippers, you know, again, decisions here to, like, rest guys and avoid the Lakers? That's what they did. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Sure. Why not? I think it's fine. You know, there were some scary moments for the Clippers against the Mavericks last year. Obviously, Luka Doncic hit a game winner. But all things considered, the Clippers handled that series pretty easily over the course of the games. I assume that will be the case, and that's probably what they're thinking heading in, especially considering, you know, poor Porzingis isn't at his healthiest. He's not coming through the season with a clean bill of health, no surprise. But I also wouldn't want to play the Lakers early either. I would want to do my best to completely avoid them, especially considering what LeBron has been saying with regards to his ankle. We know Anthony Davis goes back to the locker room every other game, almost. Usually he returns, but sometimes he doesn't. So yeah, the more chances the Clippers have to not play the Lakers, I would be doing the exact same thing. You want it easy, man. You got to beat some good teams, but the fewer good teams you have to beat, the easier it's going to be. Smart move by the Clips.
Oh, man. What if the Lakers, though, in return, Tass, throw the 7-8 game? They literally sit LeBron. That would be amazing. Wednesday night, LeBron's not playing. Aiden's not playing. We're going to give the Warriors a 7th seed, and we like our chances to beat either them, the Grizzlies, or Spurs in one game, to then be the 8th seed, take on the Jazz. Okay, of course, you've got to get by them. And Utah, by the way, flying under the radar, and a lot of people, I think, are like, they haven't been that great lately. Well, they haven't been playing like they're basically their entire backcourt in Conley and Mitchell. They've been out for a good chunk. But anyway, beat Utah, let's say you do the Lakers, and then you, of course, maybe get the Clippers in the second round. That's what LeBron should do here. Go in as the 8th seed, not the 7th seed.
Yeah, that's the King's Gambit right there. Then he'd be playing chess right there. Everybody else playing checkers. Do it, LeBron. Actually, you know, Steph is one of the best players of this generation. I don't think I can beat him. I'm going to sit down and play beat a young Ja Morant or beat a young Keldon Johnson in the 9-10 game. Yeah, I don't know about this waiting to see play the Lakers later on. Play him now. LeBron's not super healthy. Anthony Davis, as Trey said, he's not super healthy. You go get him.
Right.
But I don't know if the Clippers can just say, we're just going to sit guys. I mean, they're the favorites against the Dallas Mavericks, no doubt. But I am looking forward to it. Maybe there's 2 NBA TV series in the Eastern Conference and 0 in the Western Conference. Because all these series, when it comes down to it, they're awesome.
Yeah. And just like before we move on here, Lili, the Nuggets Blazers, I mean, I think that is another tough one that I'm struggling right now here on Monday morning to be like, oh, I don't know who I'm leaning towards in this one. You know, losing Jamal Murray was huge, but the Nuggets continued to play well, and you got Jokic, you got the MVP, who's been awesome, even better at times in playoff series. But then the Blazers have started playing, you know, their best basketball at the right time here too. We get like a old Nurk versus the Joker sort of. It's not a rematch by any means, but you know what I mean. They were being they were on the same team, former teammates there. Are you leaning one way or another with this one?
Well, the Nuggets had home court advantage a few years ago and lost the game 7 at home. Remember that game where McCollum was awesome to beat the Nuggets? But that was a couple of years ago. Things are different. But the big, the Jamal Murray factor is huge. And the Blazers last night needed to beat the Nuggets in Portland to confirm their place, which they did. Got off to a hot start, hit everything. And then the Nuggets just said, all right, let's just rest everybody. So it's tough. I mean, I'm probably leaning Nuggets, but I just find it very tough to pick against Lillard too in the first round because we know that's when he really steps up. So everyone's healthy too for the Blazers of their big players. You know, obviously McCollum missed a lot of time. Nurkic missed a lot of time. Lillard, you know, he looked like that hamstring was bothering him a couple of weeks ago, but he seems fine from now. So the Blazers certainly playing well, everyone healthy. You know, historically, they know they probably match up okay against the Nuggets, so that's good for them. But home court, MVP likely in Jokic there for the Nuggets, and haven't missed Jamal Murray as much as perhaps we thought. So I don't know. I still don't know. Nuggets would be my favorite in the series, it's but tough. I don't know if I would necessarily pick them. But man, if they go out in the first round with the season they've had, that'd suck for them too. So. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see, man. Again, this is great.
We've got a couple days. If you're just joining us here, we got a couple days to think about some of these series, go over the X factors and all that, and we'll make our actual series predictions as we get closer and closer to the real playoffs starting on Saturday. Cool to see a bunch of people like popping in here to the stream team now that the playoffs are here. The play-in tournament is here. Some big numbers here this morning. So shout out to everybody on the stream team. Some of you like. I saw somebody say, oh, the starters. I remember these guys.
Yeah, we're back.
We just came back for the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. This is the first show. Thanks for joining us. But it's nice to see some old people, I guess, finding the show again. So welcome for this playoff ride here. Okay, let's get to a little Is This News. Yeah, Is This News. This is a segment from the starters days. First one. Okay, I'm going to throw some headlines at you guys. You're going to tell me whether or not they're newsworthy. The first one is ESPN. We'll go to them. Paul Pierce, Chris Bosh, Chris Webber, Ben Wallace. Headline, the 2021 class for the Basketball Hall of Fame. Those are the NBA players, a lot of other coaches, Lee, WNBA stars, Tony Kukoc, in the international wing going in. But is this news, especially of those four guys, NBA guys, Paul Pierce, Bosh, Webber, and Ben Wallace heading in to the Hall of Fame? What do you think?
I think the biggest news is that Chris Webber finally got inducted. He's been eligible since 2013. He's been a finalist the last 5 years, and he finally broke through. And I think he's deserving. I think more than just his NBA career, he had a fantastic high school and college career. I think the reason he's been kept out because of the money allegations and things like that that happened when he was there in Michigan. But ultimately, Chris Webber was an incredible basketball player, and he's won Vlade Divac's tip away, I think, from potentially having a championship as well. I mean, that 2002 Western Conference Finals is really what sort of, you know, didn't derail his career, but that was the moment, I think, that if they beat the Lakers, they would have gone up 3-1. I think they probably do beat them in that series, and then they probably beat the Nets in the finals, but we'll never know the answer to that. So happy for Chris Webber to finally get in. Of those other guys, you know, Bosch, Paul Pierce, and Ben Wallace, very happy to see Ben Wallace go in too. Truly deserving player. Not a surprise to see those. And lastly, shout out to Lauren Jackson as well, who made it. Australian, great basketball player. She won everything for Australia, not an Olympic medal, but she did win a world championship gold medal there. Won a couple of championships with the Storm, MVP, defensive player. She did it all. So great to see Lauren Jackson in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, was anyone surprised that maybe Bosch and Pierce, maybe, though I feel like more people were convinced he was going in right away, were among those, like, you know, first year eligibility to get in? Trey, you know, because we had debated Bosch and his Hall of Fame credentials. I think ultimately we all thought he would was deserving and would maybe get in, but that he got in on the first go? Shocked at all if it took Webber that long, like Lee said? Or what do you think?
Yeah, we had Chris Bosch's case pretty similar to Chris Weber's case when we were talking about it not too long ago. So yeah, the fact that Weber got in on the fifth try and Bosch got in on the first try, you can see the difference that a few titles makes when it comes to your Hall of Fame case. Obviously, Paul Pierce won a title with the Celtics, so that's basically an induction right there. That one isn't so surprising to me, but yeah, maybe the idea that Bosch got in on his very first time is surprising to see, but I don't know, we all watched through the Miami Heat Big Three era. It's not a surprise that Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer, but I like seeing the diversity in the class here of players of the Hall of Famers here, because you got Chris Bosh, Chris Webber, Ben Wallace, and Tony Kukoc also getting inducted. These guys are all fours or fives in the NBA, totally different games. Bosh and Webber, they're the all-around big guys. They looked like they could be Hall of Famers when they were getting drafted. They lived up to the billing, even if their careers didn't necessarily go the exact way you thought it would be. Ben Wallace, an undrafted guy to go to the Hall of Fame by playing defense, getting that big beef. And you got Tony Kukoc coming over, passing, handling the ball, shooting it. Early unicorn stuff. So yeah, there's a, if you're 6'10", there's a lot of different ways to go into the Hall of Fame. These four guys are showing off.
Yeah, anything to note here, Tess?
It's about damn time Chris Webber got in. As simple as that. We've just been waiting for it forever. This guy is, yeah, is a part of the history of the of basketball, period. It is the Basketball Hall of Fame. I don't know how it works. I don't know how they announce the induction class for the next year while they're doing it. I never will know how it works. But I totally enjoyed it. Whether it was coming now or supposed to come next year, I don't know. But that moment too with Chris Webber doing his media and talking with Jalen Rose, his former teammate, who obviously they've had some gripes before, was damn right wholesome. Greg Sinnott says it here on the stream team. See, we have Jalen Rose talking on TV. Yeah, that's the word, wholesome. I got a shirt that says love on it right now. Let's spread the frickin' love. That was wonderful to see. I sent it to our buddy Grish, the biggest Pistons fan around, the biggest C-Web fan around, growing up in Michigan as well.
Yep.
It was good to see that. It's good to see him get in. You know, a lot of stories around all these dudes. As Trey was sort of going through, Ben Wallace, the defender, Paul Pierce, the lifetime Celtic, it feels like. Who cares about those other teams at the end? Like all those stories to me make this a very good class as well. There's some people in the stream team saying, oh, this follow-up class isn't as good as Garnett,
well,
Duncan, and Kobe.
Nothing was ever going to be as
good.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a freaking good class.
Yeah.
Just relax. These are really, really, really good basketball players. And I thought the ceremony this weekend was great, too. Rudy Tomjanovich stepping up to the podium and saying, Robert Horry, it's time for him to get in here. He deserves to get in here. That was, it was a good weekend as well. Although Tim Duncan just, his hair looks good, but he doesn't want to be on the mic, man. He just wants to sit down.
Yeah. He talked for 12 minutes or so, though. I thought it was a pretty good speech. I didn't thought all the speech. I thought KG was actually, pretty good, too. Like, I almost was like, KG, whoa, we've talked to him before back when we were working at NBA TV. That guy is, of course, passionate. Everybody knows that. But, like, he can start telling a story. He can go on forever. And, he kept it. He had a nice structure, I thought, to his speech. As he was like, I was like, damn, I was really, really impressed. I love Tim Duncan's look. Man, I was thinking about it. If Tim Duncan looked like that while he was playing, it would, like, because people think, oh, boring, Mr. Fundamental, like, no personality and all that. That would have helped in the weirdest way, because it just makes him, like, more memorable looking. He's cool as f*** looking now. And, he was just, like, clean-cut guy while he was in the league and went about his business and he became one of the greatest players of all time. But most people are like, this is the NBA. We need a little more personality with our stars.
He needs a different haircut.
Yeah, I'm like only half joking, Trey. Like, that look he's got now, it's a more memorable look, and I think it would have helped to only helped his popularity,
cool.
I guess, with casual.
Yeah, cool it came factor, up a lot on Twitter. Yeah. We saw the debate, who's better, Tim Duncan or Shaq? And one of the points for Shaq was always, there was that time he shaved his head but kept the sideburns, and people are like, well, I mean, that puts him over the top. Tim Duncan has nothing like that.
I'm just glad Tim Duncan actually wore a suit, because remember his MVP turned up in like sandals and shorts. And although actually, you know what? Maybe it would have been better if he did the same thing for the Hall of Fame, just turned up like that. But he's just got the cool gray vibes going through the hair there as well. He's not trying to hide it at all.
He's just so chill, man. That's what.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
What do you think about these Robert Horry remarks, though? In all honesty, Lee, is he a Hall of Fame worthy guy? Because he won a ton of titles.
Yeah, I mean, he's 7-0 in finals. I mean, you know, the definition of a role player, like, he just went along and did his job and never complained, understood exactly what was expected of him. Never really, obviously, a build-around guy, always a third or fourth guy. I mean,
come on. No, the answer is no.
Well, yeah,
right?
But the thing is, no, you can mate. Understand why Rudy feels that way, because he played such a crucial role on those Rockets championships.
Well, yeah, I mean, Rudy's not in the Hall of Fame if Robert Horry's not on his team.
I mean, no one really knows what the criteria is. It's like, hey, does this guy get in because he scored a ton of points, or does this guy get in because he won a ton of championships and was always in the right spot at the right time, hit some huge shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Played, you know, I mean, Robert Horry didn't start many games, but he finished a ton because he was so valuable at both ends. So, you know, he's a great debate, I guess. It's whether or not you think it's more about the individual, you know, accolades of that player, or whether or not his body of work and the success that he enjoyed when he was along, you know, was really what was important. I mean, does any of those teams win the championship without Robert Horry? I mean, some, sure, all.
Yeah.
Probably not.
No,
I mean,
not all.
You know,
we need a role player wing, is what it comes
to. Sure, we need the wings.
I mean, that's,
yeah.
If that's because there's a Hall of Fame, and then there's probably other sections. We have an international wing. We have the coaching wing. But you can put Robert Horry and Derek Fisher and others in that wing.
Steve Kerr,
sure. But you know, it's different. It
can't be a wing. It needs to be a whole other building. Come on. Like, what are we doing at this point? Now we're just going to be putting everybody into this.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, exactly. We did have Bill Russell is going in again,
yes.
Though. He's going in as a coach, and he's going to be the fifth Hall of Famer to be inducted as both a player and a coach. Lee, quick trivia question. Do you know the other four?
Red Auerbach in there?
Not as a player.
Player.
No.
Lenny Wilkins.
Yep. Don Nelson?
No. But there's a guy that we lost in the last couple of years. When did we lose him? Celtics legend.
Tommy Heinsohn?
Yep.
Yeah, good one.
Then two other names you know, but I didn't know that John Wooden is in for playing, I guess. He's at least included on this list that I saw, or this press release I saw. And then Bill Sharman is another name you probably have heard of, but those are the four guys. Lenny Wilkins, I think, is the one that comes to mind most immediate. But anyway, Bill Russell and Rick Adelman going in as well. And then Jay Wright is going in. As a two-time college champion, right, Trey? Like, you know more about college ball than I do. But, like, I'm always surprised by, like, a guy like him going in. Like, I thought this guy was, like, first off, fairly young. And it feels like he just won his titles, what, a couple, like,
In the
last 10 years. It's like, wow. Well, he's in already. Okay. I mean, I don't really care, but
I guess
quick.
Coaching careers start young, especially when you're a college coach. I don't know. I think it's actually kind of commonplace to be a current Hall of Famer while still being a current coach. It happens, you know. He'll probably have the floor at Villanova named after him, and he'll be coaching there while he's coaching on his own floor as a Hall of Famer. Weird stuff, but I guess it all comes down to those timing regulations.
I guess so.
Whoa! Mac is back! You ever wish you could have it both ways? I do. Like a zero-calorie cheeseburger or staying up late but not feeling exhausted in the morning. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort. But you can have it both ways with Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees and versatile yet comfortable pants, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I've got some polos, some tees, some undies, and I love them. Simple, soft, stylish. In fact, I'm wearing Mack Weldon right now. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. If you told me my silver PK polo was made from 100% cotton, I would 100% believe you. But those antimicrobial silver threads keep me feeling fresher longer. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Well, our next headline here, let's keep it going. From The Athletic, fantastic website. The Nets' Kyrie Irving joins the 50-40-90 club, ninth player in NBA history to reach this milestone. Trey, is this newsworthy?
I think this is newsworthy. This is pretty sweet, especially when you consider Kevin Durant and Steve Nash are both in the 50-40-90 club as well. If the NBA ever brings back shooting stars, the Nets are going to be the favorites. Shooting isn't the best it's ever been. Players are encouraged to let it rip more than they've ever been. And still, this club has not been normalized yet. We've been talking about stats that have become more and more commonplace as offenses get better and better. But look at all the cases we had this year that got close, but they were nopes. Tobias Harris, Chris Middleton, Zach LaVine, Lillard, and McCollum. They all got very close to 50-40-90, but came up just a little bit short. So to actually make the club, it's definitely newsworthy. Kyrie did it averaging 27 points per game, just the fifth time or the fifth most points per game during a 50-40-90 season. That's right behind Steph Curry's unanimous MVP season, a second place MVP season from Kevin Durant, a second place MVP season from Larry Bird, and a third place MVP vote season from Larry Bird. Wow. So yeah, Skeets. Kyrie is having a completely underrated season. He's not close to the MVP ballot at all. He might not make all NBA despite having an objectively amazing season and playing the most games of any of the stars that were on the Nets. Pretty weird stuff.
Yeah. I know a lot of people in the stream team pointing this out, so I'll bring it up. Tony Snell also made some history this weekend. He's the first player to have a 50-50-100 season, Lele. Yes, that's right. Tony 100. Snell, minimum 100 attempts, 50.9% from the floor, 56.9% from three, and did not miss a free throw there. again, low shot numbers when you compare them to the stars like, you know, Kyrie and Curry and Durant and stuff like that. But Tony Snell, very consistent at that. He needs more touches is what we're getting at here.
He'll keep himself in the league, though, if you can shoot threes and just do what you're asked to do. You know, that's a key to being in the league. He understands he's not a superstar player, but the three-pointer, you got the three-pointer, you'll stay around. It's funny you say that, because I saw someone tweet he hasn't missed a free throw since 2019. Oh, there, someone's just put it in the... And the stream team here as well, AJ Santiago, so he has not missed a free throw since March 2019. I have no idea how many he's taken, but even still, to not even miss still. One.
I'm guessing it's not a ton.
No, but over 2 years, and obviously, you know, we missed a lot of time there. But that's the way, Snelly. Good job. I wonder if he ever ended up giving Joakim Noah his fist bump or high five, or whatever it was. Remember when Noah got real upset? That was a great moment.
Well, I just looked it up. It's not all that impressive. Last year, Snell in Detroit went 32 for 32 at the free throw line. Okay, that is not bad. This year, 11 for 11 at the old free throw line. but did shoot over 100 three-point attempts. Like, that number is pretty amazing, the 56.9 three-point percentage. He shot 62 of 109. Remember when 109 was a lot? Like, now it's not. But anyway, way to go, Tony Snell.
Way to go, Tony.
Yeah, but you're right. I'm glad you brought that up, TK. You okay? You got a little choked up there with your...
Yeah, man. To think Tony Snell went from a 0-0-0 line to 50-50-100. It's just a... work hard, play hard. That's what I say.
Yeah. And we will see. I had Kyrie on my All-NBA second team when I went through my 10 All-NBA teams, but... Trey's right. It's a strong possibility, Tass, that he actually doesn't make even one of the three. It's going to be close. I don't think he'll be on the second team like I had him, and I think it will be the third team if he gets in, but there's a million good guards, and we know how the media, some people of the media, don't maybe love Kyrie as much as others. He could be on the outside looking in, which I think is a travesty with the season he's had, personally.
Yes, that's the guard spot is so tough. Yeah, squeeze him in as a forward. I don't know, like push somebody else to a forward spot. But yeah, the fact that he has been able to do this in year 10, just gotten better and better and better, just shows how much he's dedicated to his craft. The guys who can put up 50, 40, and 90 as a lead guy, it's so impressive. Like Larry Bird was the first, and then Reggie, and then Nash, Dirk. Durant, Curry, those are the guys as really lead guys. Malcolm Brogdon did it sort of with the Bucks there. I just skipped over Mark Price, so I'll just name him as well. I'll name him as well because that's the extent of the list. That's a freaking great accomplishment. Yeah, for Kyrie to do that, I think it helps him for the first time, like really being off the ball. You know, he is sort of off the ball with playing with LeBron, but now Harden is the primary guy there, but yeah, he had to do it a lot with Harden out as well. So yeah, this is just a kudos to him getting great that he bought in. He bought in when he signed up with Durant to share the ball, and he bought in even more when Harden joined up. So yeah, man, it is. I am one of those guys that you know wondered about Kyrie's effectiveness because of his efficiency, but it's only gotten better, and he's only gotten better as a player.
Well, that's what I think is wild about that list you just went through. These are like the most elite shooters in NBA history you're basically going through, and you don't think of Kyrie Irving as like truly an elite shooter, but he sort of is now with his efficiency marks going like through the roof here. I mean, we think of him as like the handles and driving and yeah, the clutch play, don't get me wrong, but like you don't think of him like that. So that's what's special to me about it, to be in that club, the 50-40-90 club, when it's like not even his best trait, some say, TK. It's like a whole LeBron thing. Isn't that weird? Oh, wow. Crazy. Oh,
totally. He's almost a 40% shooter for his career from three.
I know.
And it's like he's one of the guys that you easily forget when you're going through the list of 3-point shootout winners, right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah. Kyrie Irving won a 3-point contest once upon a time. Guess he can shoot.
Final headline, Warner Media dropping the press release, excuse me, here this morning. Legendary Hall of Fame broadcaster Marv Albert announces his retirement following TNT's coverage of the 2021 Eastern Conference Finals. This is it, Lili, for Marv Albert. He's been calling professional NBA games or basketball games for nearly 60 years. 60 years. A lot of people consider him the greatest NBA play-by-play man of all time. This isn't surprising. He's like 80 years old. And you could go back and listen to the Basketball Jones podcast where it was just me and Tass up there in Canada. And I remember Tass telling you well over a decade ago that I thought Marv was losing his fastball. And it was like at times getting a little more rough, screwing up players' names, maybe missing the action here or there. This was a long time ago, and he continued to put in another like 15, 16 years since I made those comments. But it now, especially with this whole COVID thing, not in the arena, is calling it from home in this weird setup, and just getting up there in age, most people are like, yeah, he's misidentifying players and stuff like that, and it was only a matter of time. But he's going out on his terms here, and he's hanging it up at the end of the postseason. But what an unbelievable, of course, career, and I probably agree that he is, at least especially our generation growing up, like Marv Albert was the voice of the most iconic playoff moments in NBA history. So anything to add to Marv moving on there?
Well, yeah, it is. It was coming this day. And unfortunately, yeah, Marv is really, he just gets, he's a tough listen. He's a very tough listen this season especially, but the last couple of seasons. But, you know, for me personally, you know, growing up watching in the 80s and 90s, and Marv was old then because he was calling the Willis Reed game from the 70s. And it's like, here we are 30 years later and he's still calling games. And, you know, just some iconic moments in the game. Of course, you know, a spectacular move, you know, and the Jordan dunk on Patrick Ewing. Like, oh, what a move by Jordan. You know, like those things to me, like I just will forever associate with Marv. And when I first really started falling in love with the game and, you know, he's done incredible. His passion to still be interested in basketball after commenting for this long is actually quite admirable. You know, that he didn't just sort of at one point just say, you know what, I've called thousands of games. You know what, I'm just going to chill out now and relax. So that's commendable. But sadly, yeah, it has been pretty awkward at times listening to him this year when he just completely misses a play or he doesn't, you know, he doesn't understand a call or a foul call or, you know, completely fluffs it. So, and it's been happening more and more. But Marv is a legend of the game and, you know, we'll miss his him being around the game. But it's time to move on.
Yeah, this was in the press release, and I couldn't tell if it was a joke, TK. He said, this was Marv, now I'll have the opportunity to hone my gardening skills and work on my ballroom dancing.
Got him.
I don't know. I was like, wow, is Marv into ballroom dancing? Maybe he is.
Been waiting 60 years to get into
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I
guess
I mean, you guys are right. The end was not kind to Marv Albert, but that'll all be a footnote eventually, right? We'll look back and think, man, this guy made saying the word yes an iconic catchphrase. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive. Simply the word, yes! And everybody does it. It's like Michael Jordan making shrugging his thing. You can't shrug in the NBA without somebody saying, oh, that's a Michael Jordan shrug. We shrug every day, every single person. But it's not always a Michael Jordan shrug. In the NBA, it is. In the NBA, saying yes is a Marv Albert call.
It's true. He started as the Knicks ball boy, too. Yeah. And then, like, sort of took over, like, radio play-by-play action. Spun it into that. And here he is all these times later. So he's off after the Eastern Conference Finals there with TNT. I think they have some, you know, plans in store here. Tasks like, you know, celebrating his obviously pretty long career here and his best moments and stuff like that. I'm sure we'll see some of these things being released as we move through the playoffs there with TNT. And I guess related, Chris Webber is also not going to be doing the playoff calls for TNT as well. He is you know, he was paired there with Marv. They're totally unrelated, but you know, according to the press release at all, but at least, but yeah, no C-Web either on the call. So I guess are we gonna be getting some, like, just out of nowhere new blood here, like, or is it just, hey, Reggie, Jim Jackson, whom I forgot, Grant Hill, yeah,
not Greg.
and then the play-by-play guys in Harlan and Eagle and Brian Anderson, which are obviously great play-by-play guys. Or maybe we get a surprise Vince Carter, maybe.
Well,
coming
he's
over.
ESPN. Ooh,
surprise
ESPN.
Vince.
Oh, it's ESPN. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. He's calling the Hawks games. We'll see.
Maybe we get Matty D and Jack in for a game, because you know sometimes they do that with the teams that are eliminated, and Matty D's called some other
players. Well, Devlin worked a lot of TNT games. Yeah. But maybe he just would like a break too. We'll see.
Mike Breen had a great speech this weekend as he was given the Kurt Gowdy Award at the Hall of Fame. He was great on the mic, and he got in along with Will Bond. So the legendary guys, you know, they'll always leave that mark in your brain. Like Marv will always be that legendary guy. I forget these last 5 years, as Trey said. You know, that's gone.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me. He will forever be yes. And I wonder if he can patent the word yes. I wonder if Jordan can patent the shrug. Like, can Jordan just sue Apple whenever he sees a shrug emoji? Sue him.
Maybe.
Sue him.
He gets
that's
a little
mine.
Royalty every time you use it.
It is wild to think, too. Like, we grew up with Marv just because of our age, but there are kids or younger people, at least, growing up with basically Harlan as their Marv, or Breen, I guess, to some extent, Breen, too, with the iconic calls. And they're both great. So I'm sure we'll be hearing them for still another 20, 30 years. These guys can go for a long time. All right. So those were our Is This News headlines. Let us know if any of those or none of them were newsworthy. Time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Well, Tweet of the Night, this is perfect. It's actually a Mike Breen clip, and it's from @NicksMSGN. And the caption to the tweet before we play the clip was, Taco Fall shall henceforth be known as Taco Bell. Thank you for this, Mike Breen. Roll the clip, JD.
Well, keeps it alive, but right to Taco Bell. Here comes Parker. Did I just say Taco Bell? Oh my goodness.
You must be hungry, bro.
I need to get some sleep.
I love Clyde dropping the "you must be hungry, bro."
I knew right away too, huh? Did I just say Taco Bell?
Yeah, he could have ignored it, but that's great that he addressed it. And I'm glad it happened sort of at this end of the season game where nothing really mattered, because maybe they would have played it differently if it was a big moment. You know, big game still mattered, but did I just say Taco Bell? Taco Bell.
Yeah. Taco Fall has to do something with Taco Bell, right, at some point. Like, he's such a character because of his size and stuff like that. Like, they could just come out with a giant taco or something like that. Mm. Like, it's going to happen, I would think.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe he's still new, but...
What, Taco Bell always does, like, steal second base. you get a taco, you know, like in the World Series or something like that. So they're into the sports marketing, no doubt about it. You got to get in on obviously Mike Breen should be involved somehow because heard that bro's hungry.
Yeah. All right. Pick 'em results from Friday night. It was the end of our little May pick 'em battle. And these are brought to you by BetMGM. It was the Raptors-Mavericks game from Friday night. Dallas was favored by 13.5, had to win by 14 points or more. We had Lee taking Dallas. Didn't turn out for you, mate. Raptors kept it close, so that's a win for Tass and Trey and myself. Trey, unbelievable little May here to end the season. 9-1, so kudos to you. That's an incredible record. I went 6-4, but more importantly, it's all who's in last. And you guys tied. We got a play-in tournament. but Tass and Lee both finishing 4-6 in May, and we said the payoff for this was going to be pretty simple. It was going to be donating some money to a charity of your choice. So I guess both of you are just ponying up some money. I know you got that Cameo money that's burning a hole in your pocket there, Lila. You're going to give to a good cause, and Tass, you'll be doing the same here as you guys will be picking a charity to give the money to them. So it was great. You guys tied. This was perfect.
Definitely. How much are you donating, Lee? I'll match.
Well, I'm going 500 of my Cameo funds. So, you know.
Yeah. I'll do 500 of my non.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to
start saying thank you to some people, Tassie.
I don't want it to somehow seem like a hollow donation here, but when I did Cameo, I said from the start, all this money I raised from Cameo, not a single penny comes to me. I'm donating it all to charity. Nice. I cracked $1,000 a couple of weeks ago. So, well, I sort of said to myself, when I hit 1,000, that's when I'm going to donate. And I was looking for some good causes, and I think the AAPI is a great one. So that will be getting $500 from me. And then a few other causes that are important to me will also be getting a contribution.
Oh, okay. Yes. I was going to say, I thought you were like just sort of like trying to sneak it past us that you're like, I hit $1,000 on Cameo. It's all going to charity, but $500 is going to this. You're like, hold on.
$500 is going to Verrazano's pizza charity fund. I'm
it's
still...
not hollow.
Any suggestions as well? I mean, I've got some, of course, that I would like to donate to, but I was also open to suggestions from people.
Okay, great. Let Lino and maybe Tass as well. Though Tass, no, you don't have Cameo, do you? Yeah, we got to get you on Cameo, man.
No thank yous from me. I'll do it right now. Thank you, everybody.
Hey,
happy birthday, everybody. What else are you doing?
Happy anniversary,
everybody.
Just do one Cameo. I love this concept.
Just one.
This is the birthday one. This is the anniversary one.
This is an NFT.
Yep.
All right.
Cool.
That's it for us here on a Monday. Shout out to everybody that joined us, doing some big numbers here in the stream team, at least. So thank you for joining us. I'll just let you know the schedule once again here. Tomorrow, we're back. We're here all week, but some of them will be late night shows. Tomorrow, though, still 10 a.m. Eastern, we're going to preview, like really lean in to breaking down these play-in tournament games for the Eastern Conference on Wednesday. You know, we'll talk about those games from the night before. We'll do the same with the Western play-in games. And then Thursday and Friday night are going to be late night shows where we're going to be reacting right after the games to those final play-in games and then go through our actual playoff preview and predictions and stuff like that because the playoffs start on Saturday. So we'll do one conference there on the Thursday night, late night, and then we'll do one conference there on the Friday night because playoffs, like I said, start on the weekend. So that's the schedule. Also have a Beach Steppin' podcast probably dropping on Wednesday. You can join us live for that in the afternoon. Get your questions in, nodunks@theathletic.com. Like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email us those questions and comments. Like I said, you can tweet them in too, @NoDunksInc. Grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com and subscribe to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. They got a great deal going on right now. Use that link so they know that we sent you. Great show, guys.
I just wrote about Formula One for The Athletic
over
the weekend. Oh, yeah. Going to be launching on the Culture Vertical sometime this week.
Wow.
They got a whole bunch of people together. Basically, people who really liked Drive to Survive and have continued watching F1. Why did you continue watching it? So that drops sometime this week.
Oh, excellent. Cool. Okay, well, go get yourself a subscription. TheAthletic.com/NoDunk so you can support not only The Athletic, you can support Trey Kirby himself leaning into the F1 coverage. I love it. Okay, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Clipper Bro.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, final comment doesn't come from me. It comes from Greg M. and the stream team. Lee, if someone says they'll make a $1,000 donation, but you need to shave your hair, would you do it?
Whoa. How can they do that to me? I've spent like 16 months growing this baby. Everyone says you've got to keep it now, bro. I mean, just make the donation anyway, Greg.
Yeah,
come on.
Come on, Greg.
I can't shave it now. I'm too far down. It's like,
okay, not 1K. If we went to, like, 10K?
10K. I'll do it for 10K, yes.
Oh, we might have to do another happy hour charity drive. Okay. All right. Got the wheel spinning here, Greg. Good stuff. Guys, we'll see you tomorrow. Embrace the day, people. You could stay.